You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. According to the California Youth Tobacco Survey results from last year, more than 84% of teen tobacco users reported using flavored products. Last week, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill into law that addresses the growing problem among high school teens in California. Joining the exchange to help us learn more is the author of that bill, California Assemblyman Chris Rogers. Welcome to the exchange, sir.
Oh, good morning.
So before we get into the details of the bill, tell me about the district you represent.
Yeah, I represent the 2nd Assembly District, which is the third largest district in the state of California by geography. I go from Santa Rosa all the way to Oregon. So it's half of Sonoma County, all of Mendocino, Humboldt, Del Norte, and Trinity counties.
And how long have you been a member of the California State Legislature?
I just took office this last December, so still in my first year. And prior to that, I was on the Santa Rosa City Council for 8 years, spending 2 years as mayor and 2 years as vice mayor.
Okay, so why did you author the bill AB 573?
So first, it's when you look at it, the numbers are pretty striking. And it was something that we first started on the Santa Rosa City Council, working with local youth organizations around keeping tobacco products out of the hands of children. And when you look at the statewide data, more needed to be done at the state as well. Currently, as you know, California has banned flavored tobacco products. In fact, a piece of legislation was passed in 2020 that then in 2022, there was a referendum that went to the public. And 60% of the public said flavored tobacco products are a problem, not just for youth, but also for adults. But we really wanted to focus in on the problem of youth addiction and the way that these products were being used to hook young consumers that then in the future would be addicted to these products as well. And what we found was that only about 11%, so just over 1 in 10 of the retailers that sell tobacco products currently are inspected by the California Department of Fee and Tax Administration, the CDTFA. And the reason was that they didn't have enough resources to do proactive enforcement. And then further study of it found that right now, about 40% of all of the cigarettes, e-cigarette sales in California are these flavored e-cigarettes that have already been banned, but there is not enough enforcement or an opportunity to enforce. And we see that working its way down into every study that is done about youth smoking. 90% of youth that have reported smoking said that it was from a flavored e-cigarette, that they preferred that. And almost 20% of all retailers in the state, when blind studies were done, found that they were still selling to youth. So that's where the problem started. And we went looking for solutions and coalitions to build around this idea.
So your bill is now law as of last week. So what does the new law do?
Yeah, so what the new law does is it actually increases what's called the retailer license fee. And this is something that's pretty standard across different industries. There's a license fee to be able to sell alcohol. There's a license fee to be able to sell cannabis. And then there's a license fee to be able to sell tobacco. And tobacco is actually substantially lower than it is for those others that I mentioned, alcohol and cannabis. It was about $256, $265 per year on the fee, and that would go towards proactive enforcement. What our bill does is it actually raised both the amount that the fee was per year, but also raised the cap so that CDTFA can make adjustments to what that fee should be to meet their enforcement goals. And what you'll notice is pretty striking is you would think that raising the retailer fee would have the retailers come unglued. And instead, not only did that not happen, but actually we received no opposition to it, because this is such a substantial issue that they have found that if they try to comply and do the right thing, but the guy down the street isn't having any enforcement action against him for doing the wrong thing, it actually harms their business. So this bill ended up getting bipartisan support and unanimous support without any known opposition to it. It will be implemented going into effect on January 1st. So the governor has now signed it, but the implementation date is January 1st.
Okay, so you're increasing the fees. What do you expect that will generate as far as revenue?
Yeah, I don't have the revenue projections for it, but when we did talk to CDTFA, they thought that the increase would make it so that they were able to proactively inspect more than a third of the total retailers each year. So again, going from about 11% to more than a third, and that would be pretty substantial in terms of not just for years one and two, but also building that expectation for folks that there will be enforcement and that they should make sure that they clean up their acts as soon as they can.
So it's interesting to me because having a business in California is a privilege. It's not a right. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so that privilege comes with a certain level of responsibility. And I'm assuming that if you're having tobacco products on your shelf, that the law is something that you're supposed to adhere to that says you have to behave in a responsible manner. But what you're telling me is that somewhere in the neighborhood of 40% of the retailers are predators.
I don't know if 40% is the right number because I don't have how many of the sales are coming from each of the different establishments. But we do know that 40% of the total e-cigarette sales are coming in California from these flavored banned tobaccos. So we know that there are bad operators. Mm-hmm. And what we also know is that it's frustrating to even the good operators. What typically happens when somebody does get caught is they do get fined and they do risk losing their license to sell. But if you have a 1 in 10 chance of being caught, I can understand how some of those folks might see it as an opportunity to get a leg up on their competition or to build their sales. What we're saying is we are going to work with the industry, work with the retailers. And I should mention our sponsors of the bill that we worked very closely with was the coalition around the American Lung Association, the American Heart Association, Tobacco Free Futures. All of those folks worked in partnership to make sure that we are increasing enforcement on the bad actors so that that way the good actors can continue to thrive as well.
My guest is California Assemblyman Chris Rogers. He represents District 2, which covers five counties in California, including Del Norte and Humboldt counties. So, sir, what is the impact of vaping on the health of teenagers?
The data is very clear that the impact of tobacco products on youth is pretty substantial from a health perspective, from an economic perspective. And that's why we have seen the entire history of the tobacco industry has been geared towards getting kids hooked when they are young, before their brain is fully developed, and building those terrible habits that they'll continue into adulthood and beyond. And it's not just an impact to those individuals, it's also an impact to society in general. We know that those increases also cause an increase in premiums and healthcare costs for all of us across the board, regardless of if we smoke or regardless of if we have those habits. It does make accessing healthcare in California more expensive as well. There's a huge significant personal and community cost to that, which is why you've seen such increased enforcement across the board on tobacco products. This one's very narrowly tailored towards the flavored tobacco, but the reason that Jerry Hill, a senator in 2020, sought to ban the flavored tobacco products was because adding the flavoring in made it that much more addictive for folks to get them hooked. And as I mentioned, voters agreed. This is one of those laws where not only did the legislature pass it, but then because there was a referendum, voters had an opportunity to weigh in on this, and voters overwhelmingly said, we don't want these flavored products available because of their addictive properties and because of the impact that they have on youth.
Okay, so I might be dating myself here, but I remember when there were candy cigarettes. And so the tobacco industry was going after kids a long time ago. This is not a new issue. Why does it persist?
I don't have a good answer for you on that one. I will tell you, I actually just met somebody not too long ago who started smoking in their 40s, and that was a novelty to me because most folks have now grown up as a generation understanding the impacts of tobacco use, understanding the impacts of smoking, and most do refrain. You do see that there's been a substantial drop-off, and especially once you get out of teen and youth ages, the likelihood of picking up smoking as a habit is very slim. We know the health impacts. We know the community impacts. There's been this concerted effort and we've seen successes for it. We just have to continue to push and to make sure that we get rid of that at the local level. Because as they say, each new generation coming up is a new opportunity to revamp tobacco. And we don't want that to flourish.
So what are some of these flavored products that are more addictive for teens?
So we talked a little bit about the flavored vapes. There's specific products that are made to taste like things that hide the taste of the tobacco or hide the impact of it. For example, there's a very popular maple syrup one that tastes like maple. There's grape. There's other types of flavors that give consumers a lot of different opportunities to get hooked to it. And California is not the only state that's dealt with this. Other states as well have reached in and said that the adding of those two together makes it much more addictive. And you've seen us not just do that on the tobacco side, I'll say, in California. You've also seen it in alcohol, that there have been rules that have been put in place to separate how much sugar is put into drinks and how much alcohol is put into drinks. There were, for instance, Four Locos were very popular for a moment that hid the impacts of the alcohol on the system with, or the taste of it with sugary drinks and with it being a energy drink. We no longer allow that as well. So it's not just alcohol, but California has taken substantial steps to look at how we best manage those impacts and the addictive nature of those impacts.
So if I understand this new law, it is designed in such a way that it will expand the funding or increase the funding to increase the number of inspections to try and keep the retailers on the up and up.
That's exactly right. At its most basic level, this is working with the retailers, so not a tax on the general public, but a fee on the retailers who, to your point, have the privilege of being able to sell in California, increasing that, where that money then goes to CDTFA specifically for enforcement so that they can get in and they can get to the bad actors. It also, for folks that don't get that proactive enforcement, they don't know when it could be coming, and they also see that it's increasing. So they also have an incentive then to fly straight and do the right thing.
Okay, you said CDTFA.
CDTFA, it's the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration.
Gotcha.
So they're the ones that implement all of the taxes and fees in the state of California.
Okay. Now, here's a question. What about the folks who are manufacturing all of this stuff?
As I understand, it's a great question. And as I understand it, part of the challenge is that you have an asymmetrical landscape for laws across the country, that many of these folks, the manufacturers, are not in the state of California. And in fact, when I was the mayor in Santa Rosa, we would do I'd do monthly community office hours, but we do a yearly one that was geared specifically towards youth. And one of the questions that we always asked them was about access to tobacco, access to alcohol, and access to cannabis, and where they get it. No parents in the room. But just for the conversation and how we might increase enforcement or make sure that we're keeping the bad actors at bay. And the number one answer that we got from folks was eBay, that actually the rules around eBay had been so lax at the time that that's where many of them were getting it, was they were getting these flavored vapes from out of state or from eBay. The manufacturers are not the ones that are in California. It is folks that are the retailers that are getting access to these products that are now banned, but because these are still allowed in other states.
Wow. Well, mental health is a major problem among teens and young adults. It seems like these flavored tobacco products exacerbate an already challenging situation.
I don't even understand how difficult it must be in this day and age for youth growing up, not just because of pressures around things like tobacco, but layer on top of that social media, all of the different disasters that we've gone through in California from the pandemic to wildfires. I think that mental health is a really challenging thing, and especially that's the moment where groups like tobacco industry can take advantage of youth.
Well, what do you hope that this new law will achieve in measurable outcomes?
I think that the measurements are those ones that I mentioned at the beginning. I think that as we continue to do surveys with this proactive enforcement, I hope that we see a couple of those metrics fall, not the least of which is the amount of teens that are reporting use of flavored tobacco products and tobacco in general, the amount of retail establishments that are found proactively to be shut down for non-compliance, and that overall we see that the rate of retailers that are working with the industry, working with CDTFA and others on enforcement, that that goes up as well.
Okay, well, we've got to go. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for having me. Take care.
My guest was California Assemblyman Chris Rogers.